If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew 28:1-6. Today is a day of celebration. We remember the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a day that should excite us because it's a day that proves that we are worshiping the one and only true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have the Bibles with you or you watch it on the screen above me, I think it should work as well. And you'll see us reading from there. And then we're going to jump into another story of resurrection. And this was the resurrection story of Lazarus. So the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of Lazarus. So early on Sunday morning, Matthew 28, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying." And then we're going to jump over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 11, so just a few more pages over to John chapter 11, 17 to 27. And this is a story of Jesus going to see Lazarus, who had passed away. And when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Mary and Martha in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior today. And Father, as we would look to your word today, I pray that you'd make your word come alive into our hearing and into our beings here this morning. I pray that, Lord, that just a reminder of fresh truth will just fill our hearts and fill our minds with thanksgiving and rejoicing because we serve a risen Savior and God. Praise his name. Well, today is Resurrection Sunday. Easter Sunday, as some people call it, a day we celebrate and remember the greatest day in history. And it really is the greatest day in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the world may not recognize that it is, but yet throughout the ages, we are still able to celebrate this day. It's still considered a holiday in our nation, although there's been a lot of attacks against Christianity of late from our government, and yet it still holds on. It's still a Resurrection Sunday, and it's a highlight of our faith, and it proves to us who Jesus was and who he is, the very Son of God, the Savior of the world that has conquered death and was risen from the grave. The resurrection and assures us that we serve a risen Savior, a real God, a God who is alive, that we have real faith and our hope is in the right place. The resurrection of Jesus Christ sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world. For no other professed prophet or God has done what our Jesus has done. All other religions are marked by graves. Only Christianity is marked by an empty tomb. That proves that Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus is the Son of God and Savior of the world. And there are many, many proofs that he is the Savior of the world. And so it's good that we would take time every year to celebrate this day, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, that our faith and our belief is in the right person. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that he is the Savior of the world. We believe that he is the promised Messiah of Scripture that offers us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. It was a claim that Christ had made and proved even before his own resurrection through the miracles that he did and through the people that he raised from the dead. And stories just like the one we read here of the resurrection of Lazarus. On that day, he was proving to Martha and Mary, to all the people that came to mourn with them, that he was indeed the Son of God with power over life and death. And both stories of these resurrections, they prove that Jesus is the Son of God. They prove that Jesus does have the power over life and death. And that's where I'd like to focus on this morning, that Jesus is who he said he was. Even back as we were reading the story of Lazarus rising from the dead, Jesus made a claim that day to Martha that needs to continue to be celebrated today. It's found in John 11:25. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." Now that's a powerful statement that was proven true by the resurrection of Lazarus and ultimately by his own resurrection that we just celebrate here today. So our Jesus is the true I am. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. And he deserves to be acknowledged and celebrated as such, especially on this Easter morning. And so that's what we're going to do. We're just going to look at that little phrase that I am the resurrection and the light. So first of all, as we celebrate our Jesus and the truth of that statement that he said that I am the resurrection and the light. Both of these resurrection stories prove that Jesus Christ is the true I am. John 11:25, Jesus told her, "I am." Now that may not mean a whole lot to us, but to the people at the time when the Bible was written, they understood what Jesus was saying here. See, that little phrase, I am, is a powerful, powerful phrase that basically means, I am the great I am. I am God. I am Yahweh, that sacred name of God to the Jewish people. And so the Jewish people were very familiar with this terminology. They were very familiar and they respected that name, that simple name of I am. And they knew that as Jesus said that Jesus was claiming he was God in the flesh by making that statement. The respect of that name, I am, to the Jewish people was demonstrated many times in scriptures. And one of those times that goes way back into the Old Testament, you go back in the book of Exodus, and the story about Moses and the call of Moses to lead the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And as that story goes with Moses, he's asking God, he said, "Well, Lord, what authority do I have to go back to the people of Israel in Egypt and to tell them, follow me?" And the Lord said unto him, "You need to tell them that I am has sent you." And we see that in Exodus 3:14. God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So this name is among the most holy and respected names of God to the Jewish people. Means Yahweh. And here is Jesus in his ministry on earth declaring to the people of Israel that he is the I am, that he is the true God. It was a statement that was used against Jesus when it came time to crucify him. as the religious leaders of that time considered that word to be blasphemy. It wasn't even to be spoken. It was such a holy and godly name. It was a crime to them that was punishable by death, even to speak the name. But Jesus clearly declared that he was the great I am throughout Scripture. That didn't stop him from declaring who he was. We see the story of the crucifixion in Mark chapter 14, 61 to 64. And it says, but Jesus was silent and made no reply. That's as he was appearing before the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. And then the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. He goes on to say, then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict? Guilty, they all cry. He deserves to die. Jesus was not afraid to declare who he was. He has been declaring who he was to people throughout his ministry as he ministered on this earth. And so when it came time where he was standing before that Sanhedrin, he didn't shy away. He began to say, no, I am. I am. I'm God. I am God. And they didn't like that, and so they crucified him. But yet it was a statement that as Jesus made, and then he proved that statement in his own resurrection. But just to go back a little bit, when we look at that statement that I am, if you would take the time to read the book of John, and you go through the book of John, and it is filled with passages of Scripture where Jesus is declaring, I am. I am the bread of heaven. I am the light of the world. I am the gate to heaven. I am the good shepherd. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. And on it goes throughout the Scripture. Jesus was declaring in all those statements that he was the God of heaven, that he was the light God, he was the God of the light of the world, that he was the God to the gate of heaven, he was the God of the good shepherd, he is the God of truth, he's the God of life, he's the God of the way. That's what he was declaring. They're powerful statements to make. Statements that upset the religious leaders and caused the populace to wonder if he was even speaking the truth. But Jesus proved that he was the true I am, God in the flesh, through the fulfillment of Scripture, to the miracles that he did, to the resurrections that he performed, and even his own resurrection. The resurrection of Christ was the ultimate proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the great I am, Yahweh, the true God in the flesh. So on this resurrection morning, we need to celebrate our Jesus because he is the true I am. He is a true God who died and rose again. Our faith is in the right place. And that should be something that we should celebrate to realize that we serve the great I am. Now, secondly, we should celebrate Jesus because Jesus is the resurrection and the hope of our resurrection. That one day we too will rise from the dead to experience heaven for all eternity. John 11, 25, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection. I am the God of resurrection. I am that God. He is the God who is in control, who has the power over life and death. He has the authority. He has the power to raise our bodies from the grave that we might have eternal life. And again, that's a powerful statement to make. And in the story in the book of John, we see that Jesus went immediately after he said that statement, he went immediately to the tomb of Lazarus and proved that he was who he said he was and called out Lazarus from the grave, and Lazarus came forth. He told the mourners that day, roll the stone away. And they were objecting and thought Jesus was crazy. He had made this statement, but nobody was believing him. But finally, they rolled the stone away, and Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. there's often a lot of commentaries that say if Jesus just had said, come out, that everybody in the graves there would have all came out at the same time. But he said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out, proving that he was who he said he was, that he is the God of resurrection. And as we look at our Easter morning here today as well, where after Jesus was crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb, the enemies of Christ thought that they had won. But they were soon to discover that Jesus was who he said he was. He is the God of the resurrection. And on that day, the Bible says there was a great earthquake. An angel rolled the stone away, not to let Jesus out, my friends, but to let people see in that it was an empty tomb, that he had risen indeed. Matthew 28, 5 to 6. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. The tomb wasn't open, friends, for him. It was open for us to see in and to have faith and to believe that we serve a risen Savior. Sadly today, so many people are still looking and trying to find the body of Jesus. But they need to listen to the message. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. The tomb is empty. Jesus is the God of the resurrection. So if you want to believe in a heaven, if you want to believe in life after death, who better to choose to believe in than the God who conquered death and rose from the grave? That's what our Jesus has done. Jesus has proven that he has power over life and death. And that's a message that Jesus declared again and again. And even as we come to the end of our Bibles and we come to the book of Revelations, once again we see Jesus proclaiming that. And he tells us in Revelations 1, 17 to 18, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. So if you want to have a confidence in heaven, if you want to have a confidence in life after death, it should be rather obvious that we would place our faith in Jesus Christ. Make no mistake, Jesus has the keys. He has the keys of life and death. Our faith in him is where it needs to be, as he is the one that has the keys to open up death and say, come out, and we will come out, and we will rise to eternal life with them. So Jesus has the keys. It's a proven fact, historical fact, that you can even see that today, and I've been there a few times now in Israel, where you can go to the literal tomb of Jesus. He's still not there, friends. People keep looking in, and we look inside the tomb. I don't know what we're all expecting to see, but he's not there. He has risen indeed. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. He's the first. He's the first fruits of that. You have a great harvest for all those who have died. We have faith in Christ because just as he rose from the dead, he will quicken our mortal bodies, that we too will rise up to meet him and be with him forever and ever. That should be a cause of celebration. Our faith is real, friend. Your faith in Christ is in a sure foundation. And then thirdly, we have that reason to celebrate Jesus, as Jesus is life. Jesus is the I am of life. Jesus is the God of life, the God we owe our very existence to. John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Again, Jesus makes it very clear that he is the God of life. He is the God of the living. Our God lives. He is a God who restores life, the God who conquers death, and the God who brings back to life. The grave cannot hold him. Death cannot hold him. Nor will the grave hold you or I. Anyone who believes in Jesus will live even after dying. That's what the scripture tells us. Friends, we serve the I am. We serve the God of life. Again, Jesus declared that many times, and that he was the I Am, that he was the God of life. John 14, 6, Jesus told them, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is the I Am. Jesus is God. He's Yahweh. And since he is the God of life, he is certainly capable of raising us up from the grave. Our hope is secure. Our hope is in the right place because our Lord and our God is the God of life. Bible tells us, John 3:16, for God loved the world so much, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Our Jesus is the God of eternity. He is the God of eternal life, the God over everything that deals with life from now right through to eternity. He desires to give us life throughout our present. He desires to give us life right now. He desires to give us life for our future. He desires to give us life for eternity. He is not just the God of eternal life. He is the God who grants life right now, forgiving us of our sins, restoring our lives, giving us meaning, giving us purpose in life. John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The enemy of your soul, Satan, will make lots of promises to you that he will never keep. And his real motive for you is that you would die, that he can kill you, he can destroy you, and cut your life short. That is his desire for you. So don't be deceived in following him. Rather, choose to follow Christ because he is the giver of life that brings meaning, satisfaction, purpose, hope in our lives. Jesus rose from the dead and is alive. He has power over life and death. He is the supreme one over all who would rise from the dead, and he is the giver of life, both in the present and in our future and in our eternity. So on this Resurrection Sunday, let us celebrate Jesus, for he is the resurrection. He proved who he said he was, that he is the great I Am. He is the God of life. Death could not hold him. He is a risen Savior, a God who is alive, who God grants life both now and for eternity. He is the I Am of life. That's our Jesus. That's who our Jesus is. I'm going to ask your musicians that they would come back to the instruments this morning. Friends, this is Resurrection Sunday. It's a day of celebration. And it reminds us that we serve a God who makes our faith real. So if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ today, you need to realize that it is in the right place. The resurrection proves that Jesus is God, that he is the true I Am, the one and only true God. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the I Am, the God of the resurrection, that he is Lord over death and Lord over life. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the I Am, the God of life, that God grants you life today and eternal life forevermore. So as you think of that little passage of Scripture in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. What a God. What a Savior. That he's worthy of our service. He's worthy of our praise and celebration. Let us celebrate our God. Let us worship our God. Let us come before him with offerings of praise and offerings of worship. Let us come before him dancing and singing and shouting. Lift up a voice of triumph because you serve a great God. You serve the Almighty God. There is no God like our God. There is no God like our God. No God has done what Jesus has done. That's why your faith is important to be in him today. It's in the right place. It's in the right place. Hail him. Give him glory. Give him praise. He's our God. Jesus, the I Am, the resurrection, and the life. That's your Jesus. Prove who he said he was by that resurrection that day. You serve a great God, my friends. Don't look anywhere else. Don't listen to those lies of the enemy to try to make you go some other path. He is the Lord. You are serving the right God. He's in charge, and he has power over life and death. What a Savior. What a God. We're going to go into a time of communion at this time. I'm going to ask those that are helping with communion if they could come and help me here at the front. The way that we do communion here.